Luke 21:25-36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, or the anxieties of life, and at that day will close on you suddenly like the trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all this that is about to take place, that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
It's as important today as it's always been to give attention to the voice of truth, the voice of God our Father. And often we can get bogged down in the minutiae so that we fail to step back and see the bigger picture of God's plan and purposes, which is really the best news. This news is not like today's Sunday Times, that sadly won't be used to wrap up tomorrow's fish and chips, but will be pulped and recycled. The good news of the gospel is a new reality. It won't go away, but will be brought to fruition in a glorious new creation. And furthermore, we can experience an inbreaking of that reality today, just as Jesus said, "The kingdom is among you. Do you not perceive it?" What God has done in sending Jesus, his birth, life, death, and resurrection, has been to establish a new reality. What he is doing now is building his church, and what he will do in the future is establish his kingdom on earth, and everyone will know it, see it, experience it. This is good news, because we can all get to participate in it. The choice is ours. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this first Sunday of Advent, help us. Help us not to lose in the over-familiarity with the story that which we can confidently look forward to. But in the retelling of the familiar beginning of the story of the Incarnation, help us. Help us hold in mind the greater reality of the rule and reign of Christ the King. Amen. A little bit of history. After the death of Solomon, God's people divided into two. 10 tribes in the north, they wanted their own king, and separated from Judah and Benjamin in the south with its capital in Jerusalem. Jeremiah was a prophet in this southern kingdom of Judah, and in the last few years before its destruction and the exile of its people, he was a young man who grew up under Josiah, one of Judah's few godly kings. The others were pretty much disasters. Jeremiah's prophetic words of exile and of the destruction of the kingdom of Judah came to pass in his own lifetime. But we also read in Jeremiah's prophecy, "I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line." These surely were words that Judah and Israel, the kingdom in the north, wanted to hear and see fulfilled. No doubt, while they were in exile, they held on to these words, hope for the future restoration of God's chosen people. We hear in these familiar words, familiar to many of us, and associated with Advent, prophetic words calling to the future coming of Christ, Jesus, who will be the Messianic King. Jesus was born in David's line, but only Herod, in placing the sign over his cross, recognized Jesus as King of the Jews and crowned him, albeit with thorns. So was that it? Was this the end of God's plan to bring a reigning sovereign? Far from it. Jesus spoke of himself in the parable of the nobleman gone to be made king and in due course returning to find out how his servants had fared in that time while he was away, seeking an audit of their accounts, rewarding those who had been faithful. Jeremiah speaks about Jerusalem taking on the name of the coming king, as its character will reflect that of the king himself. The Lord is our righteousness. But we, who have the whole account from creation to new creation, read in the book of Revelation that the city signifies all God's faithful people. Our calling as God's people is to take up the character of Jesus so as to reflect the reality of his coming kingdom in the present through our attitudes and actions, our relationship, our confidence in our identity. During the week, I had a call from the streets of Cambridge for prayer, as one of our family members needed confidence to be a Daniel and not to compromise and to speak the truth. To trust that when he did that, God would make a way just as he did for Daniel. There really are lion's dens in the world of business today, and probably at the bowls club too. The good news is that as our brother stepped into the office, God made a way for him and his boss. Generation after generation has been waiting for the return of the king, just as generations before waited for the fulfillment of the words of the prophets concerning his first coming. They were in a long Advent. And we too, in the long Advent for his returning to be king, who will be sovereign over all the world, whose reign will be one of justice and mercy, filling the earth with righteousness, need confidence in this sure and certain hope. There will be in that long wait signs on earth and in the heavens, says Jesus. We need to understand the language Jesus speaks was of his day, and not to lay on it what in our day we understand by the use of certain words, to understand the language in its historical and cultural context. Here's a current example of this, and I hope you can relate how the word meaning has changed during most of our lives. Cool has a relatively lower ambient temperature. I'm glad it still is. But just so that you know, cool is awesome, popular, like in social hierarchy, used when a conversation goes silent, nice, wicked, that's not evil, good or great, not warm but not cold, okay with each other, not mean to each other, but not necessarily nice, just not mean, so cool. For example, that new bike is cool. That kid Andrew is really cool. After a long silence in the conversation, that's cool. He gave me his lunch when I forgot mine. He's really cool. That's cool new. Andy, you were cool in Halo 2, That's a video shoot-up game. Eyeing someone else's lunch. That sandwich looks cool. My ice cream is cool. After the argument, Bill asked Andrew, "We cool?" And Andrew replied, "Yeah, we cool." So, in the first century, some of what Jesus speaks about did come to pass with the fall of Jerusalem to Rome. Heaven and earth was to the Jews the temple, the place where heaven touched earth. And so, when Rome destroyed the temple, heaven and earth literally passed away. Although on Good Friday the curtain separating the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom, the temple remained in the Jewish mindset, the place where heaven and earth met until its destruction by Rome. You see, God resides in heaven, and yet he was present in the Holy of Holies. Here, heaven and earth met. So with the destruction of the temple, even though we can't bear the thought that when the curtain toward God departed, but when the building was flattened, heaven and earth passed away. And because these prophetic words point towards a fulfillment of God's plan and purpose, they will find further fulfillment when all powers and authorities on heaven and earth bow before Jesus as King. Heaven and earth will pass away, says Jesus, but my words will never disappear. When this happens, heaven will invade earth. There will be a new reality, a new creation. So when we read Jesus' words, and there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and the strange tides, people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. And as we listen to the news, we will not fear, because the day of the Lord is drawing nearer and new creation is coming. We can be confident as God's people dearly loved, because our hope is not like that of a child wanting a bite for Christmas, but a certainty that God's words through the prophets have been fulfilled and will be fulfilled. His promise that we are in Christ a new creation is both a present and future reality to all who will humbly kneel at the foot of the cross and welcome Jesus as Lord and King.